I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your sports bros, Rob and Suk.
Sodom.
It is 5:02. We had the Mario Cristobal on The Fan today. Dirt and Sprague interviewed him. You can hear some of his clips. Oregon State will be appearing only on Facebook.
That's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, for heaven's sakes, Larry Scott.
They're playing Hawaii, and the only way you'll be able to watch it is on Facebook, and we will discuss that coming up this hour.
You thought it was bad that they were always on the Pac-12 network.
I don't know which is worse. I don't have either.
Hold my beer.
So we'll get to some college football stuff this hour. Ezekiel Elliott's back with the Cowboys. Melvin Gordon, maybe an Eagle, but likely not. So that's all coming up. We got the club. And the club's always fun. So listen to that. 6 to 7. It's going to be great. Got a lot planned for it. So much so I don't even know how to tease it. This is big. It's big. It's large. It's going to be a lot.
We can talk about naked Nancy Lieberman.
Oh, the body issue?
Did you see 61-year-old Nancy Lieberman?
No, but I want to.
Good for Nancy. I don't know about you, but the ESPN body issue, I think this may be the last year because I think ESPN the magazine is going away. So I don't know if they're going to keep doing the body issue and then just put it online or...
Gee, how did ESPN the ESPN the magazine's going away?
Yeah, who knew?
Shocking.
But every year they do the body issue. And, you know, I don't care about Myles Garrett, right? It's like, hey, fine, right? We get it, he's in great shape, or they show some hot surfer. I can see hot chicks everywhere. Welcome to the internet. The ones that are interesting are the Gary Players and the Greg Normans or the Chrissy Everetts and now the Nancy Liebermans. Or the Eagles offensive line like that. Now you're talking. You got a little something different on there.
What was I watching? The Brewers were playing the Astros the other day and they showed Christian Yelich got naked.
Yeah.
Boy, those are.
Yeah. There's not a lot to the imagination.
No,
no.
I mean, all they do is cover front parts.
Yeah.
Everything else. It's full go.
It's the full Monty.
Tell you what, he's got a nice bod.
You talking about Jason Kelce?
Well, no, I was talking about Christian Yelich.
I know. Jason Kelce was with the Eagles offensive. Oh. Isaac Seumalo, by the way, naked.
Yeah.
He's on there.
They got that guy, that douchebag who free climbs, Alex whatever.
Oh, yeah, the guy that did free solo.
Now he's doing it naked, so that's disturbing.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. It's just...
I just saw that. They got... But I'm telling you, look at 61-year-old Nancy Lieberman. Holy hell.
I love Nancy Lieberman.
Nancy Lieberman is cut. Nancy Lieberman has like an 8-pack and she's 61.
I think she's great.
Well, I know that you like the old ladies and I'm telling you, Nancy Lieberman's about to climb up your ladder.
Wait, I like the old ladies?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like it. I like an older, you like distinguished, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah. You like Julie Andrews. Well,
love Julie Andrews.
You'll like Nancy Lieberman.
By the way, may I point out something as I'm looking at Nancy Lieberman naked.
Yeah.
Those aren't her abs.
You're calling fake abs?
Look at the photo where she's got the basketball spinning on her finger.
Okay.
Which is also not happening. She's covering her up tops.
Yeah.
Look at her abs. Come on. Come on.
You're calling fake?
Yes. That is airbrushed to the nines, bro.
I don't know. There's other photos there. I think that's 100% Lieberman.
I don't know.
I don't think if you're doing an issue like this, you can do fake.
No.
Like, I'm not saying fake. It's just it's exaggerated by a lot.
I don't think so, man.
I don't think it is,
I think
Rob.
That's all Lieberman because there's still some there's some sag around there. She's 61. I think you're doing a disservice calling out Nancy Lieberman. That's 100% Liebs.
I think they're painting her six pack there.
No.
Trying to accentuate that.
I'm just saying Nancy Lieberman's bringing the heat. She kind of looks like Linda Cohn, too.
She's great.
She's got a little bit of that happening.
Good for her. Maybe Nancy Lieberman and Gary Player can get together.
Yeah, Gary.
And just be naked together.
Well, and then who was the other one? Greg Norman's all ripped. He's like that weird old man rip where his skin and everything is kind of saggy and old, but it's just, he's shredded.
Now, how about the race car driver guy who's all in shape?
I know.
I expected him to be kind of.
I think race car drivers are underrated. Like, I think that's really hard. I think that's a very physically demanding. you don't think about it. It's like you're driving a car, but dude, you got to sit in there for a couple hours in 100+ degree heat and control a car.
And the G-forces.
Yeah.
They have to be in some of the best shape of any athlete.
Yeah. I'm just looking through here and
Who's the one-legged Asian gal? Because I'm not going to lie. I like what she's got going on, too.
A lot of butts.
Yeah, well, you can't show the front.
The athlete butt is really something. Like Brooks Koepka, never thought I'd see his butt.
Well, you have.
Wasn't he naked on like his Instagram account or something with his girlfriend?
Oh yeah, they were. They I don't know if he was naked, but yeah,
they showed his butt.
Yeah, they geared down at some honeymoon vacation destination sort of thing.
Well, anywho's, I have a story in the club of strippers rallying together all across the United States. You know, they are joining forces, Jason.
Like the animal uprising, but, you know, with strippers.
Power in numbers.
Yeah, there is.
And we will get to that. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by frost-brewed Coors Light.
You know what you are? You're a dipstick.
Feel it in my bones.
And it was in my mouth. So tasty.
Number five.
Stanford quarterback KJ Costello. You know, big game. They're playing USC this weekend.
Yep.
He is questionable for the USC game. Meanwhile, Walker Little, who is their best offensive lineman, he is going to be out for that game and a month with a knee injury. Also, USC quarterback, of course, JT Daniels, if you haven't heard, he is out for the season.
Yeah, already you're starting to get some injuries that are piling up. I mean, you saw what happened with Oregon at their receiver position. UCLA was without three of their best players in their season opening loss. Now you've got two of the, you know, well, one who was the runner-up to the all-conference quarterback position last year in Costello. He was second team with Gardner Minshew being number one. He's out. USC's down theirs. I mean, you start losing guys like that, especially at a team like Stanford where the depth isn't quite there. Be really hard to overcome.
Also, Notre Dame running back Armstrong out at least a month with his injury. If you're a Notre Dame fan, he's hurt.
And they've got a couple big ones early on in the year.
Number four.
Antonio Brown has a new helmet, but he's pissed off about something new.
Yeah, he's got to deal with a helmet manufacturer, so I don't know if he loves his new helmet, but he loves that they're paying him to wear it.
Yeah, so he's got a new helmet. That's all resolved, right?
Yes.
We're done with the helmet thing.
The Zenith Shadow is his new helmet, and he is going to be a spokesman for it.
That's great. So that's done.
Yes.
But Mike Mayock, the Raiders GM, sent him a letter laying out the fines that they are levying on him.
Yeah.
And he did not like it, and he took it to social media.
Yeah, and he's claiming that the devil doesn't lie, and that his team may be against him, but that it doesn't matter because, I don't know, Antonio Brown is great. What was his direct quote? He said, "When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now, devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear." And then he tweeted that at the Raiders. So
very clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait,
no tension or stress whatsoever in this.
Clear as mud.
This is going to be a year-long thing. You know it is. Number three.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past that dude to just walk off.
He's a strange duck.
Well, Oregon State football is taking on Hawaii this week, and it will not be on television. Instead, the only place the game will air is on Facebook via live stream.
This is just so stupid. Remember the Mariners had this a couple times where they had Facebook-only games? you only get so many of these college football games, and you, I know Oregon State fan, I've heard from plenty of them that are just livid at this. Like, the Pac-12 can't get out of its own way.
So the game doesn't kick off until 9 o'clock Pacific time. And, yeah, why they chose this game is probably that.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the time. But have they done Facebook-only games the last couple of years?
Not that I know of. I know that there's, like, there's been some games that have been broadcast, like, in the NFL on Twitter, but as far as I know, this is the first Pac-12 game that I can remember being Pac-12 exclusive. I mean, maybe one of the Arizona schools had it, and I wasn't aware of it because I wasn't paying attention to Arizona. But
and even if it's on Facebook, if I had a Facebook account and I log on, where would I find it? Is it just sitting there? Wait, ready for me? Like, where do you go? I know you got to go to Facebook, but then what?
I don't know. I remember when I watched the Tom Brady one. Like, I went to Facebook, and then you just typed in, like, Tom Brady, and it popped up. Like, there was a little banner for it, but I just think it's ridiculous that if you're an Oregon State fan, you have to watch a game on Facebook. I know a lot of people probably don't even have the ability to get Facebook on their actual TV.
That's true. But you got to remember, too, that a Pac-12 network isn't on DirecTV.
Yeah.
So if you have DirecTV and the Oregon State's playing on Pac-12 network, you have the same problem.
You're not watching that either.
All right. What was that? Oh, we're already at number two. And it is that Melvin Gordon, Chargers running back and holdout. There was a trade offer, according to Monday morning quarterback's Albert Breer. The Eagles were the only team to propose a deal for Melvin Gordon in recent days, and they offered up former Bears running back Jordan Howard and a swap of mid-round draft picks in exchange for Melvin Gordon.
So it sounds like the Chargers want a first-round pick, and so far what we've gotten is a mid-round swap and a used-up back.
He
so,
says, yeah, he says L.A. One. Obviously said no.
Bit of a disconnect there between what the Chargers are asking for and what the rest of the league wants to offer up. It's a shame because Gordon's a good back.
Oh, he's good, yeah. Meanwhile, Ezekiel Elliott gets paid. It is official. He is back with the Dallas Cowboys. It is a six-year, $90 million extension that includes $50 million in guaranteed monies.
Yeah, he's the highest paid running back in every sense of the word, and he said that he needed to be the highest paid running back because, quote, I'm the best. So I don't know what Dallas was doing because they got nothing here in return. It sounds like this is all Ezekiel Elliott. This is what he wanted and he got it. It didn't look like there was any discount here.
By the way, that Jared Goff deal we were talking about yesterday does set the record for guaranteed money.
Yeah.
But he will not make the highest amount per year.
No, he comes in, what was it, I think about 33. So just above Wentz, but below the Russell Wilsons of the world. And I was reading a thing where people said this may end up being a win-win for the Rams and Goff because he gets guaranteed money, 100 plus million, right? It shows their commitment to him because there was some talk that, you know, could anyone do this in McVay's system? But, and they said in a couple years, this isn't going to look that bad if he continues to play at a Pro Bowl level because the market's about to go crazy once Pat Mahomes hits it. And they think that Pat Mahomes could be a $200 million contract. And as the cap goes up, that maybe in a couple years, because Goff's extension, you know, it's going to tie him to the Rams for a while. In 2 or 3 years, this isn't going to look so bad.
Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. All right, let's take a look at the weekend ahead for the Beavers, even if it is on Facebook, and what Mario Cristobal had to say on The Fan earlier today, and your chance to win Oregon Duck tickets coming up on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Oregon, Nevada this weekend. We're giving away tickets at the end of the segment. I'll just tell you. Get your trigger finger ready. People are asking why the Oregon State Hawaii game is on Facebook only.
Yeah, that's a Mountain West thing.
Yeah, the Pac-12 really doesn't have any control over it. It is on Facebook only because in this instance, the home team's conference owns the rights to the game, the distribution rights to the game. And so in this case, that is the Mountain West. So the Pac-12 and Oregon State have no control over the broadcast, and this is how Hawaii does it. Apparently, their games are on Spectrum, and that allows fans on the mainland to stream their broadcast live on Facebook. And so that's here. That's where it will that's where it will air.
I just think it's absolutely embarrassing that a Pac-12, one of the Power Five conferences, has a game here that you can't see anywhere on television. And from my understanding, they're not even 100% certain where it's going to be available on Facebook. They're like, they think it's going to be available on the Mountain West page or maybe the Hawaii Facebook page.
Well, you could probably just type it. Surely I can go to Facebook and just type in Oregon State Hawaii and it will come up.
One would hope.
Right? Well, it sucks. And I would say this, man. Coming from a different region, the one thing about it out here that I just love is that there is a balance with your sports, right? Like your sports fans, you got your Blazers, you got your Ducks, you got your Beavers, but it is not rabid like in other parts of the country where there's less to do and it means more. You know, it just means more in some other parts of the U.S. And the one thing I would say about that is just I've never, ever, ever gotten used to it. I think it's the damnedest thing. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how it's not rectified by now. But for a region, not even a region, but a state and a city, the main city of a state that follows its two colleges so religiously and has an NBA team, a professional basketball team.
Top 25 market.
For their games at any point, one game anywhere, not to be on television when they play, absolutely blows my mind.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Now, people here, it's just the way it's always been. They're probably used to it. It's obviously not a huge deal because there's not enough uproar to change it. I mean, the Blazers are still only on. I mean, their distribution's gotten better, but I can't get the Blazers on DirecTV.
No.
That's un-freaking real, man. I live in Portland, Oregon, right? So this kind of thing just would not fly in most other regions of the country, and it's because sports are a bigger deal there.
Yeah.
So anybody that ever says, oh, what a great sports is it? It's not like this rabid sports region. It's got its fans, but it's got mostly balance and other things to do. And it's just not like,
can you imagine if Alabama told its fan base that the game wasn't going to be,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, this is mind blowing to everyone else in the country, but here it's just the norm and nobody really ever even speaks of it.
No,
like we don't even talk. We have gotten so used to the Blazers having incomplete distribution, and we're so used to having Oregon every once in a while play on the Pac-12 network, and if you're a DirecTV subscriber, you don't get it. You don't even bat an eye. But that is so wrong.
And people forget about this, but remember last year when Oregon State was playing at Nevada, that game was supposed to be dark. You weren't going to be able to watch it, but there was a hurricane or some tornadoes that came through there, and it canceled a bunch of games in the South, and so they ended up throwing it on either the CBS Sports Network or FS1 or something, and that was the only way that you were able to watch Oregon State and Nevada. Otherwise, that game would have been dark. You couldn't have seen it any place, or at least this one's on Facebook. And people are saying that Facebook, because I'm not on Facebook either, but they're saying the Facebook has a like a Facebook Watch tab that you can click on it and see like what's available, like a channel guide.
It can't be hard, right? Once you get on there,
I guess.
But you know, like for example, a text coming in, the Better You Today text line 55305. Let's be honest, how many people will be sitting around waiting for 9 p.m. OSU kickoff anyway? And you're right. It's like, I mean, based off of my point, it's like it really isn't a rabid demand.
No, but
there just isn't. But at the same time, I still think it's mind-blowing that your team in your city is not on.
Nope, not on TV.
It cannot be that hard. It just can't.
And this is 2 years in a row that you've had something funky happen. So I don't know. Maybe another storm will come along and the game will end up being on TV. But
well, there are other ways to get it. I get it. I mean, you know, with all these different avenues now.
I guess there is no other way. I mean, this is it, right? This is the only place you can watch this is on Facebook. Anywhere else.
That's true. In this instance, I'm just saying most of the time when this happens, like you can get a login from somebody who has another carrier, or you can find it on Reddit.
Yeah.
You know, or there are ways now, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't know why people aren't more. Well, I do know why people aren't more upset about it, and it's just because it's not...
apathy.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
We're hearing from plenty of Oregon State fans on the Better You Today text line that are pissed off.
Of course they are, but how many of them are there, to that guy's point? Yeah. It's not that many. It's not enough for them to change it.
No, it's just a bit... to me, it would be embarrassing. That would be my, if that was my school, I would be embarrassed that that's what we're forced to do. We get 12 of these a year and one of them I can't watch. And last year I was supposed to have a game where I couldn't watch it, period. Not even on Facebook. It's embarrassing.
A lot of people bringing up the Dodgers down in LA. Yeah, their TV deal.
Yeah, their TV deal was wonky too, right?
There's a lot of people that can't get them down there.
Yeah.
It's a West Coast.
There might have been one in Houston too that had something. Maybe it was the Rockets or the Astros.
It was the Astros.
Was it the Astros that had a TV deal that was like that?
Well, they were so bad that nobody wanted to watch them. They were getting like 0.0s.
Yeah, there were a couple games. There were a couple games when they were tanking that they didn't register a rating. That didn't mean that no one was watching, but there were so few people that it didn't register on the Nielsen.
Now, in this instance, like you said, it sounds like it is not, like, even if Oregon State or if the Pac-12 wanted to rectify that, they couldn't. But the bigger point is, look, is it too much to ask that in Portland, Oregon, every Ducks, every Beavers, and every Blazers game is on television? Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not.
But here it is. And that's all I'm saying is, it, in this particular instance, maybe there's nothing they can do about it, but generally, this has happened before.
Yeah. I would be interested to know, and maybe we could do some digging on this, see if I could talk to someone from the Mountain West, but because other teams play Mountain West teams. Missouri just got done playing Wyoming, right? And they ended up getting beat. Does this happen on a regular basis where if you play a Mountain West team that you're not on television?
Was Arizona, because they just went out there and played.
Yeah, Arizona.
So it said the home team's conference.
Well, that was only one of two games that weekend, though.
Yeah, and that was on ESPN. Yeah.
No, that was on CBS Sports Network, which is the main Mountain West distributor.
Okay.
And they only have one channel, CBS Sports Network, so they don't have like seven like ESPN.
Yeah, so why was that on then?
Because it was the only one. So basically you get one like big Mountain West game and then the rest of them, or they...
Well, if they're on a different time slot, so you can get multiple games. Like Mizzou, Wyoming was also on CBS Sports Network last week.
Okay, boy, so basically what I'm hearing is that there is a way to rectify this. The game could have gotten picked up, but because Oregon State's so bad, it's way down the pecking order, so that's why it's only airing on Facebook?
That's the only thing I can think of.
Man.
Because the other option, if they were using the Pac-12 rights, would be any ESPN or even Fox could have picked up the game for Oregon State.
Right.
So I'm looking.
Right, yeah.
Or Pac-12 network, of course. So I'm just looking at the games at that late at night. Okay, so Fox Sports 1 has Washington Cal at 7:30, so they're out. ESPN has USC Stanford on at 7:30, so they're out. CBS Sports Network has Minnesota Fresno State at 7:30, which they chose over Oregon State Hawaii. And then the Pac-12 networks has Northern Arizona Arizona at 7:45. So all the options for the Beavs at that time slot were picked in those games instead.
Which I understand, but...
Yeah, because the latest game from the Mountain West is Minnesota at Fresno State. And that's going to... So that's...
That's the CBS Sports Network
game. That's the CBS Sports Network game is Minnesota-Fresno State.
Well...
So maybe that we need that game to get canceled.
Your teams are going over there to play and there is a chance that they will not be on TV in their local markets.
That's ridiculous.
How do you not have that? Rectify that in the next contract? Yeah,
something needs to be worked out.
I mean, it's just...
It's
how is it
crazy.
Not at least on like ESPN 3 or something? Which always seems to be an option for these games.
Is ESPN 3 still a thing or is it ESPN Plus?
They're both. ESPN 3 is free to watch. ESPN Plus is not.
And someone's saying like the Longhorn Network was not available in large parts of Texas, but the Longhorn Network doesn't carry Texas football games.
I think they did, though.
No, the Longhorn Network carries, like,
Texas
volleyball and whatever.
So they never played on the Longhorn Network?
I don't think Texas football plays on the Longhorn Network.
I mean, usually they're so good. Well, I mean, they're so big
that their games
get selected. But in the event that they were as bad as Oregon State, would maybe they fall?
Yeah, then I think...
Yeah, then they fall.
Then they could fall into their own. But, yeah, their football games aren't on the Longhorn Network.
All right, well, that sucks. I mean, it sucks for Oregon State.
Yeah, and I get that you're not very...
9 p.m. kick.
I get that you're not very good, but I...
That's just...
They weren't very good, and I still watched them play Oklahoma State, and I would have watched them play Hawaii. And by the way, this is one of the games that you think you might be able to win.
It's just unacceptable. All right. You have a chance to win Oregon Duck tickets. Write me out. Oregon playing Nevada. We have 2 4-packs of tickets to this Saturday's games giveaway. We will take callers 4 and 5. Write me out at 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080, and we're going to get 2 winners. Each winner gets a 4-pack of tickets, you and 3 other people. if you have that many people in your family or if you have any friends.
Yeah. Or just hand them out to strangers on the street.
That's what it is. Yeah, you could do that too. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You ever had that happen to you at a sports game?
I've handed them to people, but no, I've never had anyone offer me a seat. But I've done that a couple times where I end up with extra tickets and I'll just go find someone that's looking to buy them. I'm like, here, take them.
Now, our boss is a big Texas fan. He says Longhorn Network does carry two or three lesser Texas football games per season.
Okay, so when they play the...
Well, that's crazy.
When they play the chumps of their schedule?
So you're telling me Texas football is on Longhorn Network and not everyone in Texas can see it? Hmm. It's nuts.
Well, that's bad. That's surprising me about a place like Texas. I would think that the fervor...
Got to rectify that.
Yep.
By the way, I am to tell you that our ticket giveaways for Oregon Duck football here on The Fan are brought to you by Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Did you like my read?
I liked your dramatic read there.
Yeah, thanks.
When the mountains are blue.
Okay, coming up next, Mario Cristobal was on The Fan. You will hear what he said about last Saturday's heartbreaking loss to Auburn coming up next. But first, Mike, I'm stalling, by the way, because I think he's on the phone.
Oh, yeah, look
at him. He's talking to winners.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Oh, so now we're killing time?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's typing in there. See, we got a whole process now of how to give away things.
Yeah, everything's very...
Everything's streamlined.
It's all about rules now.
So we went to Pac-12 Media Day.
Yeah.
And I think you did this too. So we each have our expenses, you know, from the trip. And I submitted my expense report. And it has now been approved...
Yeah, like seven different people.
By an eighth person.
It's ridiculous. And they send you updates every time. And so you get an email and you're like, oh, it's been approved by this person. But then it says status not paid. And then like 2 days later, hey, it's been approved again. Status not paid.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been approved again.
Status not paid.
A lot of people going over our expense report.
Now it's gotten to the point where there are people that are approving it that I've never even heard of.
Nope. No clue.
Like it was our boss, Jeff, our big boss, Kim. Yeah. Then it was the regional guy, and then it's some other guy. Now it's like, wait, who's that?
Somehow the bottle service at the Cheetah Room got greenlit. I thought for sure that'd be red flagged, but it went right through.
All right, we have our winner. We will periodically give away Oregon Ducks tickets on The Fan all throughout the season. We'll hear from Mario Cristobal next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
By the way, on the Longhorn Network thing.
Yeah, I looked it up.
Yeah, they're distributed quite well. As a matter of fact, so this idea that a lot of Texas or some of Texas doesn't see Texas Longhorn football games if they're on the Longhorn Network, it doesn't sound... It's hard to actually see the numbers, but it doesn't sound like that's true. They're on all the major carriers because they are, obviously, if you don't know anything about that deal, that was started by ESPN.
Yeah.
ESPN paid Texas, what was it, like 20 years, $300 million or something like that?
Yeah.
And so
the Big 12 allowed it because Texas was threatening to leave.
Right. That's exactly right. So that's how that whole thing started. And the thing about that network is it's a non-starter. It does nothing for Texas, nope. Right? It's like, I remember when that thing started, everybody's like, oh man, Texas is doing their own network. Is this the start of a revolution where you have the Texas network and Ohio State has their own and this is going to be such an advantage? It hasn't meant a damn thing to
them. And ESPN regrets it. They call it one of the worst deals. So it's a $300+ million deal that they have to pay out over whatever it is, the 20 years. And this is what they get for it. And like you said, the distribution on it, from what I can see, is
it's good. They're on Dish, Direct, all those.
They're on all the major providers.
Time Warner.
And they're all on ESPN. You can do you can watch it online on ESPN.com. And so this is what you get. Two regular season football games, and guess which two games?
The Kansas game.
The Kansas game. And when
they
play,
we're happy to be on there.
You know, like Louisiana Tech, right? That's on the Longhorn Network. And you get 10 men's basketball games. And that's it. Then you basically get all of their softball and baseball games, all of the volleyball and soccer matches, diving, track and field, tennis, rowing, golf event coverage. That's what you get from the Longhorn Network. You get 10 men's basketball games and the two worst Texas football games.
And that thing's still on.
Yeah, there's a deal. You can't break it, but there's plenty of
20 years. So when did that start?
13,
12.
Whenever the Pac-12 started, because remember there was talk of it going to 16 or 14 teams. And
2012.
So, yeah. And it's a an abomination. I mean, it's does nothing.
I wonder what they think of it. I mean, Texas, you know, you don't turn that money down.
No, I think it's like 15 extra mil a year they get.
But at the same time, you don't, I don't know, it just hasn't meant anything for their team, it seems like.
No, and it hasn't meant anything for ESPN either.
And
it was a bad deal. And everyone talking about this is the start of every team launching their own network.
Yeah, no.
No, it's not.
All right. Mario Cristobal was on with Dirt and Sprague today. Head coach of the Ducks. Oregon Ducks lost to Auburn over the weekend. Pretty tough loss.
Yeah, when
pretty tough loss.
That stinks.
Now we're gonna go with three clips here, and we'll start with how Justin Herbert played in the Auburn game.
He played very well. You know how it is. You guys are in the industry. Whenever things go great, so let's look for the guy to hand the trophy to. When things don't go well, let's see who we Why? And then let's blame it on this ref. There's a lot of different things that go on in the course of a football game. A ton of plays that can swing it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert played a heck of a game. He really did. And just love how accurate he is with the ball, how decisive he's been with the ball. And at the same time, his leadership skills have really just continued to grow and develop. So really fired up about him. And I can't wait to see him play this weekend, man. The guy's really playing well.
Okay, so I agree with him.
Yeah, but by the way, even if Herbert had played poorly,
he played great.
He's not going to say that he did.
Oh yeah,
but no, Herbert didn't play poorly at all.
No, I think what people's questions are about him is why not more downfield? Like, this guy is supposed to be like one of the top picks in the draft.
Yeah,
you know, well,
why are you only throwing the ball six times past 10 yards?
So somebody, well, these guys, this is from Dirt and Sprague Show. They did ask him what we were questioning yesterday. It's like, you know, you do wonder how much autonomy Herbert has at the line of scrimmage, and they asked Cristobal about that.
No, Justin, whenever he sees something that he really likes or something he feels strongly about, it is he's all about it. He's all about doing whatever to help the team win. And you know what? When he sees certain things on the field, there's some flexibility there for him to change certain things and put us in an advantage play, whether it be the run game, the pass game, or a protection. So he's and he's excellent at it. He does a great job.
Yeah.
I don't think, yeah. Are you saying you don't think he does?
Is
he holding back on how much they kind of rein in Herbert?
I think he's holding back a little bit. I did not get the sense. That to me seemed like a very politician generic. Oh yeah. If he sees something he really likes, then yeah, no.
But he doesn't very often.
I don't think
he didn't
does.
In the Auburn game.
No, I do not think that there is a lot of freedom in that offense. No.
So why?
Like, I don't know.
That's weird.
That's one of those things that
this guy's supposed to be a generational talent.
He's a super smart kid, but it from my watching of Oregon, I do not see a lot of control of the line of scrimmage. No, and you know there's certain programs that don't want that. I mean, that's Matt LaFleur has been battling this, right? Supposedly in Green Bay, you know that, and Shanahan has this in San Francisco that they want you to stay within the confines of an offense and. They're pretty happy with, hey, these are the parameters, and then there's others that are a little more freewheeling. But I get the sense, and that answer to me didn't really sound like, yeah, we have a ton of, we give him a ton of freedom. I don't buy that.
It's a tough one because, you know, they could be protecting him too,
sure,
in the sense that they don't see, you know, they don't see enough from him to feel comfortable unleashing him.
You just never know.
You know, does this go back to the Herbert leadership thing?
Yeah.
You know, that some question.
I just think anytime, especially after week one, too, first, it's far too early to make any sort of sweeping judgments about this team. This team's going to be fine. They're going to win a lot of games. I just don't, they're all fair questions to ask, but I don't ever think you're going to get a real answer. Right. If you sit there and say, hey, you know, should you have opened it up a little bit more? Should Marcus
Arroyo was honest about it?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, he was honest and said that, you know, hindsight, they wish they would have turned it loose a little bit.
It's not that hard.
I just don't think you're ever going to get Mario Cristobal plays things very close to the vest. And I just don't think you're ever going to get an admission of any of those things.
Here he is on play calling with Herbert.
We have a play caller and we call the plays. And certainly we try to take some shots down the field, connect on a couple early in the game. And then the second half, felt like we had a couple of things there. They did a real nice job covering it, you know, and we certainly have our plays run up for certain situations and certain coverages. They're there, you take them. If they're not, you got to check it down or move on to something else. So credit to them and credit to our guys for working hard at it.
All right. So he sounds a little He doesn't want to talk about any of this stuff.
No, he's not, and I don't blame him, but he's not.
He sounds a little perturbed by the narrative.
He's not going to get into it. He just isn't. I think last year, I mean, he hears right. it.
Well, let's see how they evolve then.
Yeah.
We'll see how they do.
You know, I do think that, you know, you're 1 year under your belt. You're one game this year, and obviously there's some criticism coming your way because you lost. And, you know, but if you go and reel off the next 11 games, then no one's saying boo. But if it's something that continues to be a problem, eventually it'll have to be addressed. But, you know, last year he was pretty bristly about it. He's a smart guy. He knows that there is some pressure on his offense. He knows there's some pressure on Arroyo. He knows what coaches can pretend all they want that they don't hear the criticism or they don't hear the whispers around, and it's hogwash. They hear the exact same thing that everyone else does, and that's his guy. He's going to be protective of his guy, and I understand that, but he knows that there's pressure on the offense, and Arroyo knows there's pressure on the offense. Why he admitted after the game that, you know, when you can sit there and say, hey, we completed 28 passes and six of them went beyond the 10 yards. Auburn completed whatever it was, like 13 passes or 18. I think it was 18. And they had like seven that went beyond 10 yards. I mean, that's an obvious thing. It's hard to not acknowledge that.
Well, I thought that maybe this Auburn game would have been the one they get that kind of monkey off their back in terms of, you know, proving you win a big game, solid within game decisions, you know, the X's and O's part of it. But that narrative is very much loud after the first game. So
yeah,
they got to rectify that. I just think that I heard an interview with Joel Klatt recently, and he said, look, if you all are blasting Cristobal and Arroyo and these guys, it's not the best in-game coaches. You need to watch more college football because, man, coaches are having trouble with this right and left in college football. Even to the point, I heard Joel Klatt say, he said, you'd be stunned at how many coaches don't even know the rules. Like when you see them mismanage something because there's just a rule that they don't know.
Yeah.
It is not just an Oregon thing. It's not specific to these guys. Coaching's hard.
Yes.
It's not easy. They're not going to be perfect.
That's what I said. The easiest thing in people's mind is to drop an offense and to call plays.
Well, and just like clock management, there's a lot going on down there. It's just not unique to Oregon. I just think, though, this narrative is not going to go away until they make it.
And I looked at it.
And that's Cristobal and that's Arroyo, and they got to get better in these areas. Because if you want to get where you want to go, This is it. This is what cost you that game.
Bo Nix completed 13 passes, and he threw the ball more downfield than Justin Herbert did, completing 28. That stat just jumps off the page at you. And if you are going to complete 70% of your passes, but you're going to go for 230 yards, and everything's going to be a 4-yard completion, that's not going to get it done against better teams. It's going to be good enough against the Nevadas of the world, and you'll beat up on lesser talent. Oregon is really talented, and they're going to maul some people with that offensive line in Herbert. They're going to kill some poor teams. But ultimately, I think Oregon is going to get judged on what they did against Auburn, what they do against Washington, probably Washington State. And then maybe you're throwing USC. I mean, I suppose Stanford will be their first real test here in a couple of weeks. To see what the hangover like is for Auburn, but Nevada and Montana aren't going to offer anything. But in reality, you've got those three games in the middle of the year where your season will be won or lost: Washington, Washington State, and USC. And you know, it'll be a while until we see that. And then of course you have to take care of business against the lesser teams, the Cals and the Colorados and the Arizonas and in Arizona States. Because remember last year, now granted there were some injuries there, but you laid a big giant egg against Arizona, which was not a very good football team.
Well, I think there's a difference in losing a game because the other team outplayed you and losing a game when you outplay the other team and you can't get out of your own way.
Yeah.
And the latter, unfortunately, happened in the Auburn game, and that was already a concern. So certainly the way they lost the Auburn game doesn't quell any of that stuff. It's how you win and how you lose, unfortunately, whether they think that's fair or not. That's the way it is. That's the way people view it.
But, you know, I think Oregon's going to have a nice bounce back here. They're playing a Nevada team that may test them a little bit. Nevada can score, and they're coming off a big upset win. But
who'd they beat?
Nevada beat
Purdue.
Purdue. They came back and beat Purdue in a close one.
Here is Cristobal on Nevada.
Well, first, it starts with their, you know, really with both sides of the ball, very impressive. And on defense, it starts with their middle linebacker. You know, we kind of know that name, Sewell. He got his great job. And They're disruptive. They play a very different scheme. You know, at three men, the three down front with the stack linebacker look, the odd stack, the odd tight stack. They do all kinds of different movements and stunts and pressures that create a lot of problems. And it created a lot of problems for Purdue. It showed them the game. And when you flip the other side of it, they've got long, athletic wide receivers. The quarterback does not play like a freshman. The guy is well beyond his years. The offensive line is tough. They get good push and movement, and the running backs run hard. They are a really good football team, and I'll tell you that game they won was no accident. They're a really good team.
What was up with Dirt's nervous sports laugh in there? Why was he laughing about that linebacker?
I think Cristobal is a bit intimidating. I listened to that interview, and you know, look, he's obviously not in a great mood discussing the loss. And
I wouldn't be either.
I think he can be a bit intimidating at times. Maybe there was some laughter in there. By the way, I looked up the going back to the Longhorn Network. So in the first 5 years, so it was a $295 million deal, 20-year contract that they have to pay out. In the first 5 years, it lost $48 million.
God. And that's all on ESPN, not
it's,
Texas.
Yeah, it's ESPN. The network lost $48 million just in its first 5 years of operation.
Who is behind that? Was that John Skipper guy?
I don't know. The guy
with the drug problem?
I don't know. I'm assuming because he was there a while. And so, yeah, that probably would have been Skipper that oversaw that.
Somebody got fired.
It's not a good deal. You don't want to be paying out $295 million and then losing another 50 on top of that. That's bad.
And by the way, that linebacker for Nevada is Penei Sewell's brother.
Oh, yeah. And then there's another Sewell on the way that I think is a five-star kid that's got Oregon on the list.
That was probably the catalyst for the nervous sports laugh. Mm.
See, I didn't hear him say Sewell. I thought he said something else.
All right. If you missed Mario Cristobal and want to hear the whole interview, it's on 1080thefan.com. You can podcast anything you miss here on The Fan, brought to you by Les Schwab. Coming up next, we take a look at why Josh Rosen is not starting. It is 5:49 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Josh Rosen didn't win the starting quarterback job in Miami under new coach Brian Flores.
Feels like his career is...
Doesn't it, though?
Hasn't even really gotten started, and it kind of feels like it's winding down.
It really does, and that's so weird.
Well, I mean, it's a team that's tanking. There's no incentive for them to win games. They're not trying to win games, and he lost the job to... I mean, I'm not going to say a journeyman, but I mean a late 30s stopgap quarterback. Why wouldn't you go with the young guy and see what you have?
Well, they're saying, so it's come out now, and they're pretty much all saying this out of Miami. Players, the offensive coordinator, Flores said it, that basically the problem is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is just simply has a better grasp of the offense than Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Period. It's not about skill set. It's about Fitzpatrick knows what he's doing. Rosen doesn't. Now, a couple of things to know. One, Fitzpatrick beat him to Miami by about a month, so he had a head start. Fitzpatrick's played a lot longer, has a lot more experience in the league, and is they're both really smart guys.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick has been in the league like 15-plus years,
and
right?
And he's obviously – his one advantage of Ryan Fitzpatrick is that he does – I mean, he's not he's no Tom Brady. He's not the most skilled guy in the world. He can sling it a little bit, but he obviously – can learn offenses and pick up, you know, what he needs to pick up in order to be able to execute it.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen is having trouble doing that. Now, I think that, and he's obviously a smart guy, Josh Rosen. Everybody talked about that, about him coming out of college, is that
he's almost too smart.
Too smart, right? He gets that Andrew Luck label of, you know, other interests and this and that. So you have to wonder if with Rosen, you know, I just looked up his deal. He got $11 million signing bonus. Mm-hmm. You know, that kid, and I think he comes from a little bit of money as well.
Yeah, I think he does.
So he's got money in his family.
I want to say his dad's like a surgeon or something.
He gets a check for $11 million. What is his incentive? And maybe in his mind, this is what is happening. He has other interests. He's not in love with football. That was always the knock on him, that he's an interesting guy, but is football really his passion? And if it's not, he's already got the $11 million check. He comes from a pretty rich family. What does he care?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going on with Josh Rosen right there.
It's possible. I mean, this goes back to the Andrew Luck thing when they said, are we going to reach the point now where NFL teams are going to shy away from guys that aren't single-minded in their approach? And obviously the NFL wants guys that are willing to block out everything and just be obsessed with football, because we know that, you know, the game is certainly a brutal one, and it takes a toll on your personal life, your physical, your mental well-being, and they want people that are willing to ignore all that. And
he's not one of those people. That was the knock on him.
He's not. And so, you know.
So shocking that he doesn't beat out a 38-year-old Harvard grad that has run pretty much every offense in the league, and he had a 30-day late start on him. Shocking that he doesn't beat him out with the X's and O's, because he's probably not putting in the work that it takes to beat out a guy like that with the X's and O's.
Yeah. I mean, and that may be a ton to do with it. It may be a part of it. Maybe, you know, none at all. You don't know. I mean, it's speculating. It could be that he's just not good enough. Could be that he doesn't love it. Could be that, you know, he's playing behind a crappy offensive line, or that he's never had really good coaching, that he's taken a vicious beating. You know, he was never protected at UCLA. He got murdered in his 3 years at UCLA. Took more hits than anyone and was always beat up. So maybe he's got a little bit of that already, kind of the gun shyness that he's never really gotten a chance to develop. I mean, who knows? But I do think that it's an interesting thing that you bring up as far as, is there really a motivation to kind of go out and achieve this and put everything you have into it. I looked it up, and his dad is a doctor who Obama once considered for the role of Surgeon General. And his mother is a journalist who has been an editor for a bunch of really notable publications, including some national magazines. So, yeah.
He's like Jay Cutler.
Yeah, it sounds as if...
pretty unlikable.
No, he's got plenty of things to do if this doesn't work out.
Interesting.
He's a spine surgeon.
Oh.
So he's going to be doing, he's going to be just, his mom graduated from Princeton, and yeah, it's a whole thing. Rosen's fine. And his career isn't over, but you know.
Yeah, it's starting to, like you say, it's trending though.
It certainly is not going, this is not the start you wanted. And when he did play in Arizona, whether it was his fault or not, it wasn't very impressive. And you heard that, even last year when he got into camp in Arizona, that there wasn't necessarily great things coming out about him. He hasn't impressed anyone so far in his brief time in the NFL, and that's not a good thing.
All right, folks. That's it for sports talk. All right?
We sports pretty hard today.
Damn hard.
I'm exhausted.
I am too. Let's goof off.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I have a story of strippers... I have a story of strippers uniting all across the country.
Well, it's about time, right? Is there a stripper union out there? Do you get benefits with that? You know, the family that hoes together stays together.
There isn't a stripper union, but that's exactly what this is talking about. The New York Times.
Do you get dental with that? I don't know.
So we'll get to that and some other things coming up in the club on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.